In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Why do folks come to church? What is it that we seek from God? Surely there are specific things that we seek from the Lord, and usually they're based in the physical realm. For example, when we pray in the Lord's Prayer, we pray for daily bread. And this daily bread isn't just bread or any other food that we eat. But in this prayer, bread means any physical need for our bodies, including food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. God gives some of these things even without our asking. And this shows the generosity of God that's put on full display this morning. For he gives us more than we can even ask. But as is the case with sinful man, when complacency sets in with our undeserved gifts, we grumble. Look at the Old Testament Israelites from the text. Surely they had lack out there in the wilderness. They had nothing to eat. And so they grumbled against the Lord. Even though he delivered them from Egypt, they didn't trust God out in the wilderness. Yet the Lord heard them in their time of need and provided them with manna and quail. And it was in their eating when their trust in God was renewed. As Exodus 16:12 puts it, "At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and then you shall know that I am your God." However, in the Israelites' eating of what God provided, they proved their faith to be lacking. Because they took the bread that God provided, but they didn't eat of it as he commanded. God told them to eat all that they gathered, yet they didn't. They let some of it remain uneaten, and it bred worms and stink. This showed that when the food was eaten apart from God's command, it was no longer beneficial for them, but it led to decay. The same thing happened in the gospel reading. The Lord fed 5,000 men, not including women and children, with only 5 loaves and 2 fish. The Lord multiplied the loaves and the fish to be plenty for everyone to eat. And there were still 12 baskets left over. Now this feeding was the same one as the one in the Old Testament. That it is, it was a miraculous feeding from heaven. It was provided for God by God, as they had a real need for food. However, the same problem happened. The people didn't listen to God's word. The gospel ends by saying that some came to make Jesus some sort of bread king. That is, the only good they saw in Jesus was that he could give this same sort of daily bread stuff that was mentioned in the Lord's Prayer. He could fill their physical needs. But Jesus rebuked them because they clearly didn't understand the feeding that Jesus desired to give them. Unfortunately, our text ends at verse 15. But then Jesus goes later on to teach in verse 31. Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread to eat. But then Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus indicated the source of this feeding, that it was from God the Father in heaven. But they failed to see what these miraculous feedings were to do and to point to. They failed to see that it was for faith. For Jesus says later in verse 35, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." He says, this feeding you just ate is to show the true feeding I seek to give to you, which is that you eat my flesh. And if you do this, you will have life. What was the crowd's response? It was the same response that the Israelites had in the wilderness. When they received God's provisions, they grumbled. They didn't like this whole Jesus claiming to be bread thing, and that we should eat of his body, his flesh, and drink of his blood to have life with God. But by ignoring this and walking away from Jesus, these people only sought to fill their stomachs from God, but not to have their souls filled by God. They wanted the physical, material thing, but not the promise. They failed to realize that God had more to give them than just the material eating. He came to give himself, his flesh, for the life of the world. He came to be the living sacrifice that's to be eaten by his people. And that was Israel's problem, the crowd's problem, and our problem. Sinful man only wants the physical eating, because that's what we can know and touch and feel. It's most immediate to us. And thanks be to God, he doesn't leave us without the physical feeding, but he seeks to give us something much more. A spiritual eating and drinking of Christ that can only be received in faith. This is the true feeding. This is the food that Christ wants for you. God seeks to give you more than just the material things you seek, like health and food and security, money and family. He seeks to give you the true daily bread which nourishes not only the body, but the soul. The Israelites and the crowds grumbled against this feeding because their faith was weak. And we would lie if we said we never grumbled against God too. Because receiving the spiritual bread of life which replenishes the soul is harder than receiving the physical bread. Because it requires not only faith, but discipline. Because faith disciplines itself in the habits of God, seeking to be fed by this bread from heaven always. Faith seeks to get up at 8 a.m. on Sundays to make it to 9 a.m. Sunday school. It seeks to ignore the fatigue at the end of the day and spend some time in prayer. It seeks to spend that 10 minutes of free time off the phone to read scripture, or a religious devotional book to deepen your understanding about how Jesus seeks to feed you. It seeks to be like the apostles in the epistle lesson, who centered themselves daily on the things God gave them to do, like prayer, the Lord's Supper, church, preaching, sharing in each other's burdens as a body of Christ. And when in faith you do these things and you listen to God's command, combined with this spiritual eating, the Lord fills you abundantly, better than you could ever ask. You're like Peter. who says in John 6:63, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Because you don't see the physical blessings of food that the Lord gives as merely beneficial to the body. Rather, you see the spiritual blessings that undergird this feeding as beneficial to the everlasting state of your soul. God gives this kind of feeding to you here in word and sacrament. With this bread and wine combined with God's command and promise, you partake of something truly miraculous and life-saving. When you come to feast at this table, you come to Jesus, who forever quenches your hunger and thirst. Though you come empty, you leave filled. For that's what the Lord has instituted this meal for. To fill the empty. To bind up the brokenhearted. To heal the sick. But if all you want is full stomachs, comforted hearts, and health, then you're missing out on the greatest gift of all, which is the bread of heaven, which comes in the person and work of Jesus. He gives himself to you, sacrificially on the cross, and now distributed to you through bread and wine, through his body, his blood, to fill you with forgiveness and righteousness. In this way, he seeks to give you more than you could ever imagine. So don't grumble at what the Lord bids you to do at this meal. Eat it and drink it as he commands you here at this supper. For he gives his body and blood to fill you with everlasting life. For his word and command combined with these physical elements are more than what meets the eye. And in this meal is more than we could ever imagine asking. So why do folks come to church? To be filled with the righteousness of God. And whatever lot may be given in this physical life, we are content. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.